Welcome to Scrappy ABM, your source for groundbreaking approaches that don't break the bank. ABM shouldn't cost $200K in tech to even get started. So if you want to get started with ABM or make your program even better without investing a massive amount of money, you're in the right place. Each week, we'll hear from the brightest minds in the marketing world who are redefining ABM, achieving incredible results with untraditional methods, limited resources, and a whole lot of creativity. This isn't a show about how much money you can spend on fancy tech or overhyped tools. Instead, it's about celebrating creative problem solving and the scrappiness it takes to get ABM right. We'll dive into how these marketing leaders built robust ABM strategies with limited resources, revealing the actionable insights that led to their biggest wins. So if you're a marketer ready to challenge the status quo and build a scalable, efficient, effective marketing strategy, Scrappy ABM is the show for you. So if you're ready to discover ABM strategies that are lean, impactful, and utterly transformative, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. Today I am joined by Ariana Shannon, who is the Director of Marketing and Brand at Sales Intel. Ariana, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, glad to be here. Love the Scrappy ABM. And as a person who has spent her entire career in startups, there's nothing wrong with being scrappy. So definitely enjoy the concept of the show.
I am incredibly excited to dig into some of the scrappy programs you guys have been doing over at Sales Intel, specifically as it relates to your customer base. Before we press record, you're walking me through a lot of the ways in which you've created this incredible onboarding experience and customer experience to ensure that you're actually enabling your buyers to be successful with your tool and ensuring that you're actually expanding the users within your customer base. So if you can just give me the high level, as we think through this buyer and customer enablement program, like, what are you guys actually doing?
Yeah. And then also just to clarify as well, like, when we say me building program, this is we, this is the Sales Intel,
yes.
And yes. Definitely involved is our fabulous leader of our success program and our account management programs. They are truly a great partner because what we want is to have a wonderful customer experience. And so that comes from bringing in everyone's area of genius. And so this is where you need to start with any ABM program and any enablement program is just get on the same page. What is it that you're actually trying to accomplish? Are the stakeholders involved? And thankfully, we're very fortunate to have a lot of open communication there around what we're trying to do for our customers, because at the end of the day, that's what we want, is a wonderful experience. It's very easy for anyone to just say, come in, here's access to what we have. And especially for Sales Intel, where we provide B2B intelligence through contact data, company data, intent intelligence, you can take this information and run wild with it, but that doesn't mean that it's going to work for you. So for us, especially, a customer enablement and education is critical to the success and adoption of what we offer all of our clients. So that's where a lot of this came from and how we're doing this. So now to get to the root of the question, how did we set this up and what does this look like? So it obviously starts with great handoffs from our sales team, and they come into the onboarding process. We have mapped out the entire first year of our customer journey, depending on, of course, like where they're starting in their plan. Are they using advanced features like data enrichment, or are they using really advanced scale of intent data, or are they just dipping their toe into the data water? Are they just trying to understand, this is my ideal customer profile, and how do I actually get the data out of the system and in where I need to go? So we meet the different organizations where they are. Some are very advanced, some are very scrappy, and that's great because then we can all educate them together. So when we went through this process and we're trying to do it at scale, this is also where the concept of personalized training for larger organizations, but then also that we have to reach more people. We have a lot of customers, we have a lot of users, and spending one-on-one with time with them is just not scalable. So that's where we created our Sales Intel Academy, which is the primary onboarding for a lot of our users.
And I personally, for all tech companies, think that there should be some form of an academy, because at the end of the day, yes, you can buy a tool, but the tool is only as good as the people that use it. And if they don't actually get use, then they're going to churn almost immediately. So I'm curious for you guys, because an academy is no easy lift. Like, it's hard. Yeah. So I'm curious, who raised the problem and said, all right, as we think through how to solve for this, we need to build an academy and this has got to be an all hands on deck effort. Who actually started to start that conversation and kind of how long did that conversation take before people started making action on it?
It was a mix of our marketing and our success team. We as marketers in the marketing department, of course, looking for how can we support our customers? What are ways that we can also potentially attract new prospects? And through that is additional support, especially in the space that we're in. That is one of the legs that we can stand on of once you are, even before you're a member of the sales intel and you're coming through our process, you understand the difference and that we genuinely are there to help. And so that not only supports what we are doing as a marketing team, but it also aided our customer success team who has been doing a phenomenal job since day one. But again, so many hours in the day, increasing number of clients, something's got to break there. So yeah. Between the two of us, marketing took the lead on creating a lot of the content in very close partnership with one of our primary trainers. So the lady that's actually leading all of the trainings that takes on the larger enterprise clients, and then also our product team. So from those three heads, we created the curriculum and the actual information to make sure, is this positioning it in a way that makes sense? Is this actual factual of the best way to do what we're trying to explain? And does the product confirm, yep, that's there, we're good. This is a great process to teach everyone else. Getting through that collaborative effort, and again, it was not easy. The content itself and the lift took a while, and it's not that it's a difficult product to understand. So it's not that the complexity of your product or your service equates to how long it's going to take you to write this course. It's thinking through things of, okay, let me step out of what I do every day, which is talk about data and look at our platform and think, I'm a brand new person that's never seen this. I got to cover some basics. Technographic data, firmographic data, and an ideal customer profile, your TAM, your SAM. Like, what are these concepts? Because again, it's not just go to this screen and click this button and then you'll be taken to the window. Yes, I did do a lot of the audio on the clip. So if you ever go back through, it's probably my voice that you're listening to, but we wanted to give context. And so the context is what led to a little bit of a larger discussion within our organization of, well, of what do we want to convey as best practices? So when you're going through the academy, you not only get best practices of the data, but then how to actually get the information out as an admin or a user. So that added a little bit of a length to the scripting process. And then once we got that done, it was fairly easy to get the content up and running.
Okay. And I'm curious, as you then think through specifically who you're going after within your customers. Yes, you could easily just say, all right, main point of contact, you disseminate this across the board, but who knows if they actually do. So I'm curious for you guys, as you were thinking through actually finding the audiences, who did you actually prioritize sharing this information with within your customer accounts?
Yeah, so definitely just thinking through a land and expand motion, right? That's what we're talking about. So when it comes to a lot of our existing customer bases, we have historically sold very well to sales professionals. They get it. They need mobile numbers. They need data. They need to reach more people. And if you're going through this while doing sales, if you have so much team, you need so many numbers to like outcome. So it makes sense for them. So through there, it's, hey, let's train your sales team. Let's get everybody up and running. But where are the leads coming from that your team's working on? What is the marketing team doing? How are they supporting you? And so you just have these conversations, and that's led primarily through our success team and our account managers, because we're building relationships. It's not that we're putting everyone into an automation and saying, who at your company could benefit from using sales? That doesn't work. That's never worked. This is a relationship that we build. And so through the trust that we create through this initial onboarding and getting people time to value as quickly as possible, then they themselves become advocates. So if you create happy users that actually enjoy and get benefit from what you do, and they have a great experience with the people that support them, then it becomes very easy to get those introductions into those other departments. One customer in particular that I can remember, she was in the process of aggregating a bunch of CRMs. And so she's a RevOps leader, has marketing, has sales, everyone that she's supporting. And through bringing on Sales Intel and getting all of their database and using our team to support her, she's now been able to activate all of her sales team. And then she's going to be getting this into her marketing department as well. So they're really using Sales Intel as this unified base. So again, you create close relationship, you educate and provide value, not just grant access. And then through those relationships, you can have easier conversations. And this, and when I say it like this, it sounds very simple, Mason, because it's, oh, someone buys from you, you stay their friend, and then you keep the conversation going. Stuff happens in a business. Anything can happen. It can be very difficult. So you have to stay focused on your customer and keeping those relationships, because it's very quickly to just say, oh, this is a lower account, we're not going to give it attention, or, oh, we have a change in business priorities. If you truly want a scrappy ABM program and expansion into your customer base, it has to remain a priority from the start.
Yeah, and I've got some vendors that I work with right now in which I haven't heard from their CS team until it was like 2 months before the renewal. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, do you want to like renew? And it's maybe. So I actually don't think you're crazy. Often the onboarding process with a lot of different companies looks like, hey, here's this thing. We'll do a session with you. Make sure you get everything set up and then you're on your way. And you don't hear from them again unless it's a renewal conversation. Mm. So,
and there's so many things that you can do in the interim, like just our team itself. And I've talked about how they manage the customers, but I haven't given a lot of detail. There's quarterly or monthly check-ins, depending on the complexity of the account. There's quarterly business reports or end of year business reports, where we have conversations about how sales intel helped your business. Like you have to continually advocate for yourself and how this works, because especially if your customer doesn't know how to track it, then they can't necessarily say their own value. And that's true, because we're all just busy on what we're doing. You have to show up and support and be like, yes, this is in fact how we have been adding value to your business. Remember this campaign we worked on in Q2 and we helped you build this list and I asked you about it and it said it created this much pipeline. That's fantastic. We're so glad we were able to do that for you. What are you doing next?
I just don't see a lot of companies doing that kind of work. So as you then think through specifically, it's easy for us to say these things as you're referencing. Most of the time, a lot of the distribution is email. Are you guys doing anything else from a distribution channel to stay in contact with your customers and just make sure you're getting that appropriate FaceTime?
Yes. So we do have email communications that go out to our customers, some that are the very basic of, hey, this is some updates that we have in the product. And those are just table stakes. Then you have the ongoing cadence of our customer support team and our account management team, just make sure that the users and the admins themselves are really being supported. And that's where it's, you don't have to market to everyone at a company account, because if someone buys your tech and then you start emailing everyone at that account, what are you doing? They don't know, not every department needs you right now. So really focusing on supporting the current admin and the users, and through that, getting those introductions to those other places and really increasing a lot of phone time as well. So actually calling your account and your admin and seeing how they're doing. What a novel concept. Don't just call people to sell them stuff. Call people to check in on the campaign that you guys talked about. Call them to ask, hey, I noticed that you had declined the meeting a couple times now. Is everything okay? What's going on? How can we help you? Just being that same, bringing that human connection into every part of the customer experience.
Yeah. The more I think through it, the like CS people don't tend to actually pick up a phone, and that's nothing against them. I just think it's actually like a lack of process and training on it's okay to pick up the phone and call your customers.
Yeah. And to give the success team credit and kind of in defense of them, the success team as a concept is still relatively new. It came just before the concept of a RevOps leader. So while sales and marketing have been around for quite a while, and it was, hey, we're going to market to them, we're going to sell them stuff, and then we're going to have a support team that's reactive and only reaches out when there's a problem, to now you have customer success that is continual customer marketing. It's its own area of working within your accounts to make sure that they are healthy and understanding. And through that process, also knowing when to part ways. If an account is draining too much of your resources, if it's not going to be a good fit anymore, understanding when it's okay to say bye.
That's a great call out. As you guys were building this program, what were some of the challenges that you ran into that kind of made this potentially go less smoothly than was initially set out?
So challenges definitely involve a little bit of time because some of these programs are new. Some of it is technological, trying to get systems to talk to each other, to don't really talk to each other. And then the other part of it was just getting all of it through. So they always say when every project you have, the last mile can be the most difficult. And so that's what we ran into is, okay, this is how we think this is going to work. We have our plan, we're executing this. And then you get into the weeds of handing it over to the executioners to set up the flows, to set up the RevOps and the communication and coming back and saying, actually, this doesn't work the way that you think it will. We need to make some modifications for what we're doing for V1. And so you think of like customer success management platforms that they'll monitor activity, understand what's going on, make sure that you're tracking your customer journey through there. And does that speak to the other systems that you need? For example, the academy that I have doesn't speak directly into that customer management system. They have to meet in the middle and then you have to run reports. And so you have to take reps out of their primary system and take them somewhere else to get what they need. It's not that it's a complete blocker, but anything that adds small frictions and those little frictions that build up, and it can cause a process to slow down, or it can cause like the adoption and the review of what's actually working to slow down. In addition to where every business is adapting to every new challenge that we have. So while we're in the middle of building this process, we still have to do the work that is the current, like keeping everyone up to date, making sure the training is happening, making sure the marketing is happening. So keeping focused.
Yeah. Fully hear you on the, oh, you're adding a new technology for me to also now manage to do my job. That's awesome. So like, it's great information. It's just hard to have process and new technologies that are adopted. Last question really for me is just, as you think through building an ABM program, is there any other advice that you give somebody for building their first program?
For building your first program, you need to understand your outcomes and your stakeholders and a relative timeline, but also be flexible on that timeline. So for me, as the primary lead on the academy, so we've mentioned other efforts. There's the management of the CS team. There's the onboarding that happens. There's the year touchpoint cadence that we've set up that supports and nurtures people through that. Through all the stuff that they were working on, my primary focus was on the academy. So I'm going to speak to that. Part of the challenge that I encountered was honestly, just being a first-time buyer of that technology for myself. So I had a learning curve of looking at these technologies, understanding which LMS system was going to be the best support for what we needed, for what we wanted to do with it, and then also within a set budget. And so going through that process and trying to understand what was happening and get it set up was a bit challenging for me, as also owning the project end to end, from looking at the tech to writing the content to getting the content approved to shooting it on the day of. You wear a lot of hats. And so know what you want the outcome to be, but be aware that there's going to be roadblocks that you didn't foresee, and that's okay. Take a breath, look at your options, have a discussion if needed, and keep moving forward. Because the worst thing you can do is run into objection and say, oh, it's too hard, or oh, this is too complex. Make it simpler.
I love it. Ariana, if people want to find out more about you or find out more about Sales Intel, where would you send them?
If you want to learn more about me, just hop over to my LinkedIn profile. You can find me at Ariana Shannon. There's not many Arianas out there in the world, or at least not yet. So I'm fairly easy to find. And then about Sales Intel, again, on my profile or just looking at salesintel.io, you can find us, website, LinkedIn. We're out there.
I love it. Again, Ariana, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been Scrappy ABM, and we'll see you in the next one. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Scrappy ABM. If you enjoyed this week's episode, go ahead and give us a follow so that you don't miss a single episode. We drop every single Monday so that you can start your week off right. And if you're looking for additional great content just like this, go check out scrappyabm.com. We're building a library of frameworks, guides, templates, processes and tools so you have everything that you need to build a low budget, high impact, scrappy program. Again, thank you for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. This has been your host, Mason Cosby, and we look forward to seeing you in the next one.